content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be continuing readings from the book Pogue's Basics, Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You. And we will continue reading in Chapter 11 that is titled Make Money with No Effort. In our first section in that chapter, take care of people's dogs and cats. Pet owners have one more to-do item than other people when they travel. Find a place to take care of Fido. The old answer was, send him to a kennel where the poor thing will live in a cage for $30 a day. Nowadays, there's an option that's indefinitely more enjoyable for the dog. DogVacay.com. It's something like Airbnb for pets. The dog gets to live in pet sitters' homes where there's room to roam, lots of human interaction, and maybe kids to play with. The pet owners on the road get the added comfort of getting a photo of Fido each day. You can be one of those dog sitters. You describe your setup, post photos of your home, and boast about how much you love dogs. Dog Vacay lists you on its searchable site and provides insurance in case anything goes wrong. For an added fee, they'll do a background check on you to make prospective pet owners feel even more comfortable. You make yourself available whenever you like. You can charge whatever you want. $30 to $50 a day is typical. The site takes 20%. $40 a day for taking care of a dog in your own house without having to travel or go through training or deal with obnoxious coworkers? Woof, woof. And your earnings ballpark here is about $280 a week, and it's calculated by looking at about $40 a day for 7 days worth of work. Etsy.com. Make money by being artsy and craftsy. Etsy.com is an online marketplace for everything homemade. Jewelry, art, knitting, cookies, fabric, pottery, and so on. Untold thousands of craftsy folks at home list their creations on the site. 20 cents per listing, and sell them directly to the world. The site takes 3.5% of the sales price, plus another 3% or so to process PayPal or credit card payments for you. The power of Etsy is real. It's a one-stop shop that lets you make real money selling your handy hobby to real people. But if you just set up your shop and wait for the orders to flow in, you might be disappointed. The people who make good money on Etsy are those who have something fairly unusual to sell and who put some effort into plugging their listings on Twitter, Facebook, blogs, and so on. And the earnings ballpark here could be around $625 a year, and that's the average sales of an Etsy seller. Drive people around in your spare time. Most people have heard of Uber, the car service that's available in 350 cities and counting. When you need a ride somewhere, you open the Uber app on your phone and tap a Pick Me Up button. Within minutes, a chauffeured car service car picks you up. Not as many people have heard of UberX and Lyft. These services work the same way, except you're not summoning professional chauffeurs. You're summoning ordinary fellow citizens in their own cars, driving you in their spare time to make a few bucks. You can do that too. Driving for UberX or Lyft is a remarkable job for several reasons. First, you can do the driving as much or as little as you want, any time of the day or year. Drive people 8 hours every day or drive for 2 hours every other Sunday. Totally up to you. Second, it's interesting. You meet a lot of people and have good conversations. Finally, the money's not terrible. Usually, you're paid both by the mile and by the minute, and your rate goes up during rush hours and busy times, what UberX calls surge pricing and Lyft calls prime time. How much you earn varies wildly by geographical location and when you're driving. In big cities like New York, you can make $25 an hour. In smaller cities, it's more like $17. But don't forget that Lyft and Uber take 20% of your earnings and that you have to pay for your own gas, car insurance, and so on. There's no tipping with UberX. With Lyft, you keep your entire tip. In other words, driving may not cut it as a full-time job, but as a part-time, whenever you like it, sideline for college students, parents at home during school hours, retirees, anyone who needs a little extra cash, the freedom of these jobs is unmatched. And your earnings ballpark here could be around $18,200 a year. And that's equated by looking at driving about 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, at $20 an hour, minus the 20% to Uber and 10% for gas and insurance. Run many missions for other people. Thousands of people every day need help executing little tasks and errands. Run them to the airport, pick up a package, clean their gutters, haul junk out of the garage, proofread documents. If you've got more time than money, you can sign up to help them using TaskRabbit, a global marketplace for miscellaneous hyper short-term labor. You become what's called a tasker. You list what kinds of work you're good at. You undergo a background check. You post your dollars per hour rate. And you wait for TaskRabbit to alert you of potential jobs nearby. You accept only the ones you want. Complete the work and tap to submit your invoice. TaskRabbit takes 30% of your earnings. It's miscellaneous, it's interesting, it's part-time, and the hours are entirely within your control. And your earnings ballpark here is around $21,600 a year. And that's equated by looking at around 15 hours a week, 48 weeks a year, making $30 per hour after TaskRabbit fees. Well, here's a good one. Get paid to have an opinion. Whenever you encounter a new product, movie, or ad campaign, well, you're not the first. All of them have been tried out beforehand on ordinary consumers. Specifically, they've been tried out on focus groups. In-person focus groups involve 5 or 10 ordinary people, like you, paid fees like $100 or $300 to spend an hour or two giving their feedback on some new product, ad, or movie. Nowadays, though, focus groups are often conducted online, more convenient for you and more trustworthy for the marketers, because your answers are less likely to be skewed by people with strong personalities in the room. Sometimes you're on video, using a camera on your phone or a laptop. Other times, you're just asked to fill out survey questionnaires. You get paid in cash, checks, gift cards, prepaid Visa cards, or sometimes points that you redeem for prizes. Here are some of the big ones online. Focus Point Global, and that can be found at Focus Point, and that's P-O-I-N-T-E, global.com. This company offers the whole spread, in-person focus groups, online focus groups, surveys, product testing, and medical studies. Focus Forward. At Focus Forward, and that's Focus, F-W-D.com, in-person focus groups, phone and online surveys. Brand Institute, at brandinstitute.com/member services. Test out new consumer products and pharmaceutical products. Mind Swarms, at mindswarms.com/4-participants, online focus groups conducted by video. And Taluna.us, at taluna.com, online surveys and product testing. iSay, at iSay.com. You get about 8 online surveys a month, depending on your geographic group. Taking a survey earns you points, which you can redeem for prepaid Visa cards, Amazon gift cards, or money in your PayPal account. You should also investigate findfocusgroups.com, which rounds up focus group and survey opportunities from all over the country. Focus group work is popular. Nobody can make a full-time career of it because there aren't enough focus groups to go around. On the other hand, each focus group is looking for a particular geographic. Middle-aged moms, say, or men between 20 and 30, and if you're what they're looking for, you'll get invited. There's no predicting how often you'll get called to participate. But this much is definitely true. You won't get called at all unless you signed up in advance to be on the focus group company's rosters. You'll also be interviewed by phone to see if you're the right kind of person. And your earnings ballpark here could be around $1,320 a year. Hundreds of dollars for helping medical science. How do you think we learn what lifestyle factors contribute to heart disease? Or what percentage of Americans have trouble sleeping? Or why one drug works better than another? Through medical research studies, clinical trials, and tens of thousands of them going on right now, every week of every month, all over the country and the world. Most of them require the participation of everyday people. Want to know how they get people to volunteer? By paying them, of course. If you're willing to spend an afternoon at a nearby university or research hospital answering questions, maybe getting your blood drawn or getting a body scan, you can walk away with a great deal of money. You might make $100 for a quick visit where you fill out a questionnaire and get an MRI scan, $500 for spending the weekend in a sleep study lab, or thousands of dollars for trying out a new drug for months. You can get paid for any kind of medical study. Clinical trials are just one type, typically more rigorous and time-consuming. Truth is, though, that the money is sometimes the least of the reward. You also get an amazingly valuable inside look at how medical science forges onward. And you gain the knowledge that in your own small way, you're helping people. Your data will, in the end, be used to advance the state of medical science and make lives better. Usually, the researchers are looking for particular kinds of people with a particular condition, cancer, depression, and so on, or in a certain geographic age, gender, habits. But many studies also require people outside of those groups to serve as controls for comparison. In general, at any one time, you can almost always find a study that fits your age, gender, habits, demographic makeup. So how do you find these studies? You can search the master databases. The government runs a master database of ongoing trials at clinicaltrials.gov. You can do a search that describes your location and interest, or you can look up studies by category or geographical area. On a typical day, you might find 90,000 studies seeking participants in the United States. CenterWatch, which can be found at centerwatch.com, is a similar site, searchable, well-designed, and busting with listings of studies. You might also want to check researchmatch.org and searchclinicaltrials.org. And you can look for ads. Researchers also put ads in newspapers and on Craigslist. You might, for example, visit Craigslist.org, choose your city, open the jobs category, and search for study. If you live near a university that's affiliated with a hospital, you'll find bulletin boards and websites filled with ads seeking study subjects. Some people supplement their income regularly by participating in these studies. Others do it just a couple of times for the experience. Either way, medical research is a huge industry, and almost nobody knows about it. And your earnings ballpark here could be around $2,100 a year. Meet the HELOC arbitrage. So you've been paying your mortgage for years, like a good little homeowner. At this point, maybe you've paid off a good chunk of your home's price. That is, you've built up some home equity. You've probably heard of the home equity loan, where you use your home as collateral. But there's also a home equity line of credit, a HELOC. Get it? Which is more like a freewheeling, open-ended loan, which you can draw from or pay back as needed, up to a certain amount. People often take out HELOCs to pay for one-time big expenses like a renovation or college tuition. The first bit of good news is that the interest you pay on a HELOC is tax deductible, up to $1 million borrowed if you use the money on your home, $100,000 for any other purchase. The second is this. A HELOC's interest rate is much lower than any other type of loan. It didn't take long for savvy investors, therefore, to invent HELOC arbitrage. That's where you take out a home equity line of credit at, let's say, 3.25% interest and invest it. If you make, for example, 6% interest on your investment, then you've just made money. Of course, there's risk in this tactic. If your investment tanks or if the interest rate spikes, you can lose money. Proceed with optimism, but caution. And your potential earnings ballpark here could be, if you are a risky person, $13,750 a year. And now we'll move into Chapter 12 of our book, The Last Legal Tax Dodges. Everyone gripes about all the tax loopholes and shelters that decrease the tax burden of the world's Warren Buffetts and Mitt Romneys. Why aren't there any tax shelters for the rest of us? Well, there are. Tragically, a lot of people don't know about them, so they leave money sitting on the government's table. Now then, this book isn't a book about taxes, so it's important to realize that the summaries below are shortened and simplified. Many of these tips come with footnotes. They're available only if your income is under a certain figure, or they have an upper limit, or they're available only if you itemize your deductions, or they're subject to change with each year's new tax laws. In short, think of this list as a conversation starter for you and your tax expert. The idea is that you don't want to miss out on a deduction, credit, or shelter because you didn't think to ask about it. The 42 deductions available to everyone. There are dozens of deductions and credits that you could be taking advantage of, but may not know about them. Skim this list and make sure you're getting all you should be. Standard deduction. This is the deduction the government gives you for just being you. The amount depends on your income, but it's in the thousands. If you're at least 65 by year's end and your income is under $20,000 or so, the deduction is even higher. Dependents. Each child you have is worth a deduction of about $4,000. Nice going, kids. State, local, and foreign taxes. It wouldn't make sense for the government to tax you twice on the same income, would it? Nope. So you can deduct sales tax, property tax, and income tax you've paid to your state, city, or another country. Donations to charity. You need a receipt or letter as proof. Your donation can be cash, physical things like clothes or household stuff, expenses for volunteer work like the gas to drive yourself there, or property appraisal fees. Profit from selling your home. Here's one of the last big tax shelters. If you make a profit from selling your home after living there at least 2 years, the first $250,000 of profit is yours, tax-free. If you're married and filing jointly, make that $500,000. Ka-ching. Hobby expenses. If you made money from a hobby, stamp collecting, antiquing, etc., you can deduct what you spend on it. Your government really does care about you. Mortgage insurance premiums. Yep, if you pay mortgage insurance, you can deduct it. Tax preparation. You can deduct what you pay someone to do your taxes and the cost to file them electronically. Social Security taxes. If you're self-employed and you've had to pay the 15.3% Social Security tax on your earnings, here's a little blessing. You can deduct half of it. Tuition. Deduct up to $4,000 you've paid for school, yours or the kids. The interest you've paid on mortgages and student loans. There are various limits and footnotes to this one. Mortgage points. If you paid points to get your mortgage or building loan, you can deduct them. Medical, dental, and nursing home costs. If they're very high, over 10% of your income, you can even deduct the cost of renovations to your home if it was for medical reasons. Expenses finding a job, ads, agency fees, resume prep and printing, transportation to interviews, that kind of thing. Moving expenses for a new job, both moving companies and your own travel. Travel expenses for military reservist. If you have to travel more than 100 miles for your service, you can deduct the travel, meals, and hotel. Business use of your home. Home office. Inventory storage for your shop. Daycare. Great. Deduct all the expenses you pay for that piece of your home. If the office is 15% of your home's square footage, then deduct 15% of the taxes, insurance, heating, cooling, electricity, maintenance, phone bills, depreciation, and so on. Business use of your car. If driving is part of your job, great. Deduct your gas, parking, and insurance cost. If you don't feel like calculating all that, use 54 cents a mile or whatever the IRS's current cents per mile allowance is. business travel expenses that your job doesn't reimburse you for, planes, meals, hotels, laundry, the whole thing. Employee expenses. If wining and dining clients is part of your job, entertainment, gifts, meals, driving, you could deduct some of it. Education expenses. Yep, you can deduct up to $2,500 per higher education student to pay for expenses like school supplies, even if the student or a relative is paying those expenses in the first place. Investment fees. If you pay an advisor or you've paid a bank or broker to collect interest and dividends, you can deduct those payments. Losses in your IRA. In the unlikely and terrible event that you cashed out your IRA or Roth IRA and got less than what you put in, you can deduct the difference. Income you gave back. If you were overpaid in a previous year and had to return some of the money, you can deduct what you gave back. Otherwise, it just wouldn't be fair. And certain legal fees. You can deduct lawyer's fees that involve either taxes or collecting money that you'll pay taxes on, like what you paid a lawyer to get the alimony you're owed, or attorney fees related to doing or keeping your job. Safe deposit box rentals. If you rented one of those boxes to store investment documents, you can deduct the rental fee. Gambling losses. If you won some and lost some, you can deduct what you lost up to the amount you reported having won. And disaster losses. If something bad happens to your house or car, you can deduct the losses that weren't covered by insurance. Estate tax on an IRA. Someone rich who loves you passes away, which is very sad, but in his will, he left you his IRA, which is less sad. The estate was so big, the government charged estate tax, which is sad. But if you paid the estate tax on that IRA, you can deduct it, which is less sad. And teacher's expenses. You, dear teacher, can deduct up to $250 for books, computers, and other teaching supplies that you weren't reimbursed for. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.